are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Well, hold on. Aren't you used to only playing 13 or 12 games? I don't think you ever make the playoffs, right? We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And I can attest from a personal standpoint, when I quit drinking, I lost about 30 pounds in about 60 days. I have since put it on back on with a lot more.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
So turnover prone. I know he's really talented, but just no. I mean, he's got some weapons, but not enough that will overcome his Jay Cutlerness.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do we have to talk about the AFC East? I'm so sick of talking about the Patriots. I need to move out of Boston. Do you have room in your place?
I do have room in my place, but you're going to have to bunk with my seven-year-old.
How much rent are you going to charge me?
Probably more than you spend on rent in Boston.
All right, well, then I'm out.
I can get really cute little bunk beds.
All right, I may be back in.
That's what we are talking about today. We are talking about the AFC East, kind of spiraling down and finishing out these divisions little by little, and then hopefully sometime next week we'll start getting into some position previews as everybody starts getting into their drafts. And it's kind of nice we're doing the AFC East today because since you and I last talked, there's been some trades, and they all involve one AFC East team. So we can kind of jump on that. Well, why don't we jump on that first, talk about the Buffalo Bills, and let's talk about the fact that they send Sammy Watkins to L.A., to the Rams. They acquire Jordan Matthews. So let's start with the part that's not on the Buffalo Bills still and just kind of quickly talk about Sammy Watkins in L.A. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't really love it. I don't like the move for Watkins, although maybe a change of scenery will be good. Jared Goff is hot garbage, so it's going to be tough to get him a ton of catches over there. But maybe change of scenery is good. He's still got a lot of potential. I'm probably going to stay away from him. I think receiver's pretty deep. I tend to wait on my receivers a little bit. But I'm excited about Jordan Matthews more than anything. I just think he's going to be the clear number one over there. I think he's been a really good PPR kind of player. I think he can take a little bit of a step up in non-PPR this year. I know they got Bolden, but he's old. He's just going to be like a possession receiver to help out a little bit. And Zay Jones is a rookie, so it's going to take him a while to get going. So I think Jordan Matthews is going to be the safety valve for Taylor, and I think he's going to get a ton of catches.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think there are a lot of people that are seemingly down on both Watkins and Matthews after this trade. I understand being down on Watkins, and I moved him down a spot, I think, but that was it. He's still the number one guy. He's still going to get a huge target share, and he's still injury prone. So he is like a top 10 talent that gets placed outside the top 20 for me because I don't know how long he's going to be on the field for. So I don't think that really changes. And honestly, for the most part, I don't think there's a much difference in talent between the two passers. Now, obviously, Tyrod Taylor is a better fantasy option, considering how much he runs, and that's built into kind of his fantasy draft day value. But I don't think either Goff or Tyrod Taylor are much of a threat in the passing game. And so it doesn't, for me, kind of make Watkins any worse. It doesn't make him necessarily any better moving to the Rams. But Jordan Matthews, as you mentioned, I think he actually gets a tick up, and I moved him up a few spots in my rankings. I was already, I think, a little bit higher on him than the majority of people. You and I both actually have him as a 37th wide receiver, and I think there's actually room to move him up even more in PPR leagues, and I think I would. I think I would move him up probably into the top, I don't know, 30 in PPR because I think his target share just went up. There aren't nearly as many weapons. I think he is going to be a favorite receiver of Tyrod Taylor because, like I mentioned, I don't look at Tyrod Taylor as a very good passer. So I know that he's going to be going to Matthews a whole bunch because he doesn't like to throw necessarily down the field. He's going to throw on the short intermediate routes where Matthews is typically kind of more prevalent. So I think this is a really great move for Jordan Matthews' value.
Yeah, he gets away from Alshon Jeffrey. He's the clear number one. And I think people kind of forget how productive Matthews was his first two seasons. I know last year was a big disappointment, but he was playing with a rookie quarterback, and things just didn't work out. But I think he's going to have a really good year.
All right. You have any thoughts on Tyrod Taylor? I know I kind of took a couple pot shots at him just now, but what are your thoughts on Taylor's value this year?
Yeah, what you said is completely fair. He's obviously a better fantasy quarterback than a real-life quarterback. I think he's serviceable in the passing game. But, yeah, the majority of his value is from his legs. I have him, I think, ranked right around the same spot as you, 16. I think he's a really good QB2, a good backup quarterback in one QB leagues. But, yeah, I mean, obviously there's plenty of other quarterbacks I'd rather have, but you could do worse.
I honestly think, and I believe I moved Taylor up one spot from 17 to 16 because of the trade of Jordan Matthews and the loss of Sammy Watkins. You know, Sammy Watkins, I think, is a superior athlete over Jordan Matthews and probably the superior wide receiver. But you can't expect him to stay on the field the whole season, and that always kind of hurts Tyrod Taylor. And as much as I like a guy we're going to talk about here this year as kind of maybe a breakout as a rookie, there's not much here after Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones. So let's talk about LeSean McCoy. McCoy is going very, very highly in drafts in the first round, depending on what format or what platform you play on. So what are your thoughts on LeSean McCoy? Is he deserving of a first-round pick?
Oh, I definitely think so. This is they're going to rely on him. I mean, like you said, Taylor's not a great passing quarterback. He doesn't exactly have great weapons in the receiving core or the tight end position. So this is going to be all McCoy. They're going to get him a ton of carries. They're going to get him a ton of short catches. He had 50 catches last year. They don't have a lot of depth at running back either. So this is McCoy's going to get an incredibly heavy workload. He was great last year. I don't think that's going to stop. Maybe he won't get the 13 touchdowns again. That's, you know, it's hard to ask for that many touchdowns from your starting running back. But the touches will be there, and he'll get a fair amount of touchdowns as well. So absolutely, I'm ranked number fourth among running backs. I would gladly take him in the first round.
I've been moving him all around, and I mean, he's definitely shot up. I have him number three out of the running backs. I could easily put him higher or lower depending on, you know, what the eventual news with Ezekiel Elliott's suspension kind of lands. I mean, I know he's been suspended for six games, but I don't think anybody necessarily expects the after appeal that he'll still be suspended six games. So I could easily move Ezekiel Elliott back up or move Melvin Gordon or Devontae Freeman ahead of McCoy. For me, the biggest issue with McCoy is obviously health. I mean, you just can't expect him to get 16 games in. So if you're drafting LeSean McCoy, do you have to kind of handcuff him with Jonathan Williams?
Yeah, I think it's probably a good move because if McCoy gets hurt, I'm sure he'll continue to run a lot anyway with Williams. I know we haven't really seen much from Williams. He only ran the ball 25 times last year, whatever it was. But he's the clear handcuff. They have no other people on the roster that have any potential whatsoever. So even though we haven't seen anything from Williams, it'll be Williams' job, I would imagine. So, yeah, I think one of your last picks, you don't really have to handcuff him early. You can handcuff really late because no one wants Jonathan Williams. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, you have to handcuff him. You can do it late, which is nice. But this is also one of the reasons I've kind of avoided so far in my drafts taking LeSean McCoy. I think I'd rather just take one of the elite wide receivers if it gets to me in middle of the draft or even late in the first round and McCoy's still on the board. McCoy's going to have to represent some serious value before I pull the trigger because I don't want a first-round pick that's only going to play 13 or 12 games. Well,
hold on. Aren't you used to only playing 13 or 12 games? Because I don't think you ever make the playoffs, right?
Oh. Burn. Well done.
Thank you.
Moving on to the wide receiver core. We've already talked about Jordan Matthews. They drafted Zay Jones, but they also recently signed Anquan Boldin. So, who's the number two wide receiver? Which one would you rather own?
I think I'd rather own Zay Jones. He's got way more upside. He's got way more athleticism. I don't think this is a team that's going to be in the race all year in the playoffs. I could be wrong on that one. I think they're a decent team, but I think at some point also they're going to just let the kid play. Bolden's just insurance, just depth. I mean, the guy was unsigned up until like a week or two ago. Like, I don't see a guy who barely made an NFL roster being putting together. I know he was good last year with 67 catches, but he averaged less than 9 yards a catch. He can't. And he had 8 touchdowns. That was fluky. I'd be stunned if he got 5 touchdowns. I'd be stunned if he got 600 yards. I think he's just depth. I think Zay Jones is going to be the guy they feature. They took him in the second round. He's really talented. He caught an insane amount of catches in college. I think he's going to be the number two.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Zay Jones number two. Bolden, you know, he'll get his fair amount of looks. I think they'll probably run a fair amount of three wide receiver sets. You see all three guys in this. I like Zay Jones. I think he is kind of the perfect complement to Jordan Matthews. And so I think he's a guy that could get a ton of looks, especially in the red zone. I'm not worried at all about Anquan Bolden signing. I think Bolden kind of fills on the outside in three wide receiver sets, and they can move Matthews kind of into the slot. And in two wide receiver sets, Bolden's on the bench. So, but I do believe this is a team that probably runs three wide receiver sets for the most part. Bolden is one of those guys, I think, for me, is waiver wire fodder in 12-team leagues and then kind of a bench option in deeper leagues. All right. Any interest in Charles Clay this year?
He's fine. He's a good guy to get on when you're starting tight ends on a bye week. He's always, you know, he's pretty consistent. Gets like 500 yards a year, gets a handful of touchdowns. He's, you know, will get you like 4 or 5 points if when you need the backup tight end, but otherwise, no.
All right. Let's move on to Miami. And the big news there is Ryan Tannehill gets injured, pretty much out for the season, placed on IR. Jay Cutler is signed. Over Matt, and now he will start over Matt Moore. We assume with the contract they gave him, I believe it was 1 year, $10 million. Any interest in Jay Cutler this year outside of two QB formats?
No. He's so turnover prone. I know he's really talented, but just no. I mean, he's got some weapons, but not enough that will overcome his Jay Cutlerness. So. I mean, I'm sure there'll be weeks here and there where he has a monster week, and then you'd be like, oh, maybe this Cutler's turning it around. No, I mean, the guy's like, hasn't turned around. He's like 35. He is what he is. He'll show flashes, but he's so inconsistent. Give me someone that can run. Give me someone who's got some upside. I want to stay away from this one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at best, he's a bye week fill-in in a deep league. I mean, obviously, in a 2QB league or super flex league, he's going to be owned. He was taken in the barf draft that I did last week. It was, you know, but he was taken late. I want to say he went after like a Brian Hoyer. So, I don't have a whole lot of interest in, Jay Cutler. Let's talk about the wide receiver core real quick. They've got Jarvis Landry. They have Kenny Stills. They have Devontae Parker. They still have, Karu, who was drafted last year. Which guys are you interested in and which guys are you kind of writing off at this point?
I kind of like all of them, to be honest. I think Jarvis Landry is always underappreciated. I know it's frustrating that he just doesn't get into the end zone, but he's obviously a stud in PPR. Even in non-PPR, I'll take 1,100 yards like he had last year. And I'm sure I wouldn't be shocked if he got some more touchdowns than the 4 he had last year. And Devontae Parker, people have just so soured on him because he keeps getting hurt. He hasn't really flashed that potential necessarily consistently that we think he has. But he's going so late because of this, and I think he still does have that potential. If he could stay on the field, it looks like he might be actually healthy. He could be really dynamic. And Stills, kind of like Landry, just never gets any respect, but always finds a way to get on the field, get some numbers, and I think this is a pretty good situation for him. If Parker does get hurt, then Stills moves up the depth chart even more and gets more snaps. So I think all three of them are going for a pretty good value on draft day.
I completely agree with you. I think this is like a really underrated wide receiver core. It's nothing flashy, but I think Landry just shows up. Week in and week out. You know, the only scary part with Landry is there is some sort of pending legal domestic violence thing with him. And we don't know if he's going to be suspended. We don't know kind of what the status is of it. The mother did not press charges. The mother of of his kid did not press charges. And that's who I believe it was with. So this could be a fluid situation, and it could be one of those situations where he gets suspended at some point, and if you lose him for six games, that's a really big blow. So I would be very careful drafting Jarvis Landry unless he falls in a draft right now.
One thing that's interesting about Landry is that his yards per completion has gone up every year. It started at 9, then it went to 10.5, now it's 12.1. So I think maybe he's not quite as the, you know, small pass kind of guy. I think he's more dynamic than people give him credit for. I mean, it's also he's averaged over 100 catches the last 2 years and over 1,100 yards the last 2 years. So he's really consistent. He's got a little bit of room for growth, I think.
I'm one of the highest on Landry on our site. I've got him ranked 18th. I love the talent. For me, I'm a little bit worried about this legal situation, but it looks like it may not pan out into anything. So who knows? But I love Landry. I think he is a wide receiver too, if we know that he's going to play all 16 games. And I think he's got the kind of talent, especially in a PPR league, to be a wide receiver one.
It's just like so annoying that when we talk fantasy sports, like every other player, we're like, well, he's got a pending domestic violence charge. Like, would you stop hitting women for Christ's sake? God damn it.
Completely agree with you. We are definitely not pro domestic violence on this website. I'm not even going to go there with anything else. All right, let's talk about JGI, and he is getting a lot of love within the fantasy industry. Some people believe he should be a first-round pick. Do you?
I mean, it's fair. He had almost 1,300 yards last year. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. I wish he did a little bit more in the passing game, but that's fine. He's going to get a ton of workload. Just like LeSean McCoy, he doesn't really have any competition for carries. He's on an offense where they're not going to want Jay Cutler to be airing it out. I know that's what Jay Cutler likes to do, but they need to limit the turnovers on this team. So I think Ajayi is going to get a ton of work once again. And he's clearly proven to be a really good player. So, yeah, I think it's viable to draft him late in the first round.
Yes, I am a little bit lower on Ajayi. I can't pull the trigger on the first round. And this is kind of how I feel about the running backs who are going to be going at the end of the first round, early second. Most of them I don't really trust a whole lot, and Ajayi's been dealing. I know he's working his way back from a concussion this off season, and that he will probably be fine heading into the season. But I never like the thought of a running back with a concussion, because we play in such a violent league that, I mean, those things tend to resurface pretty easily for running backs. It really scares me. So Ajayi is not a guy that I'm going to have on any teams this year, just because.
I'd probably lean towards taking a receiver at the spot where Ajayi is going. But the only thing is, I feel like there's only like 8 running backs in the NFL right now that are really talented and are going to the clear number ones who are never going to have their jobs taken from them, who are going to get a ton of work. And he's one of those 8. So
yeah, no, and
it's kind of tempting.
Let's do a like, would you rather real quick at running back. Would you rather have Ajayi or Devontae Freeman?
God, I mean, I love Devontae Freeman. I think Freeman, I just think he's so talented and the offense is so good. But obviously Coleman scares me a little, but I have to go Freeman there.
Ajayi or Melvin Gordon?
Gordon, I put him in as also one of those 8 guys that is clear number one who's going to get a ton of work. He showed some really nice flashes last year, so Gordon.
Ajayi or Ezekiel Elliott, who's supposed to miss 6 games. Could be less, though.
That's tough. Give me Ajayi, because if he does miss 6 games, it's going to be really tough to make the playoffs when your best running back isn't giving you any production. Like I said, there's so few running backs you can trust that if you get the chance to get one that can play all 16, you got to do it. So, yeah, Ajayi.
I'm going to take Elliott, because I think there's a chance that Ajayi misses 2 games with any sort of injury. And so the difference between Elliott, who I think will probably get his suspension reduced to 4 games, and Elliott playing 2 less games, I think at the end you'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott.
Like, I know this is going to be weird. I almost hope that Elliott's suspension doesn't get reduced.
Why?
Like,
you're a Cowboys fan.
All right, look, it should either be 6 games or 0. Like, in the collective bargaining agreement, domestic violence is 6-game suspension. So, like, why is it even in there if they're not, like, going by it? Like, it's just, like, it's so weird. Like, what's his name? What's the former Cowboy, the defensive end?
Greg Hardy.
Yeah, Hardy, I think the same thing happened with him. He got a 6-game suspension, and then it got reduced to, like, 2. Like, either hit the woman or you didn't. So, it's either 6 games or nothing. I don't like this whole reducing crap. It should be 6 or nothing. I just don't get it.
I'm with you. Todd Gurley or Ajayi? It's Gurley easily for me.
It's really close. I have them right next to each other in the ranks. Gurley is another one of those guys who I know is going to get like a bajillion touches. I'm going to go Ajayi, though. I think their offense is just better, so he's going to get more opportunities and more scores.
I know I wasn't on the NFC West podcast, but I think the Rams offense is going to be better than people think. So I think
that could definitely happen. I did say that. I think there's no way Gott doesn't improve. So
yeah, I think the Rams are going to be kind of a sneaky good team this year. All right, let's talk about Julius Thomas. Any interest in him?
He's kind of like Charles Clay. Thomas was a stud. He's not that stud anymore. But he's still pretty talented, pretty reliable. I know last year was a really down season, but I do think he bounces back. But, yeah, he's a tight end, too.
All right. Let's move on to your favorite team, and that is the New England Patriots. And that was also sarcasm, if people don't realize that.
Yeah, thank God. I don't want to be friggin' associated with this friggin' team.
Let's talk about Tom Brady. Is he the number two, kind of consensus number two quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I have him too. I would definitely take Rodgers ahead of him, and I think everyone's kind of bunched together pretty close. I mean, there's not a much difference between Brady, Breeze, Ryan, but obviously Brady's got incredible weapons. He doesn't seem to age whatsoever. He always stays healthy, other than that, you know, fluky leg injury that he had that one year. So yeah, I mean, I love Tom Brady for fantasy.
Yeah, I think it's Rodgers is the clear number one. Though there are a couple people who are on our website that have Rodgers ranked two for either Brady or it looks like Ben.
Ben had Brady at six. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what Ben's doing, but we'll have to.
I never do.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him next time on podcast with him why he's so low on Tom Brady. But I mean, I think it's Rodgers is the clear number one for me. Brady is the clear number two, and then there's kind of everybody else.
Yeah, we agree that Brady's number two, but do you find yourselves drafting him? Because I don't. I'd rather wait.
No, I find myself drafting Aaron Rodgers if he falls a mm-hmm. little bit more than I'm kind of into the area where I'm comfortable taking a quarterback in a 1 QB league. But Brady never falls into an area where I'm comfortable drafting Tom Brady. So
yeah, I'm always drafting either Cam, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, or Kirk Cousins. Those are the four that I seem to always be getting.
I'm getting a lot of Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Winston, Kirk Cousins types, and I'm missing out on Rodgers and Brady for the most part, though I have drafted Aaron Rodgers. I was in a mock draft with the Fighting Chance crew a number of other industry analysts, and Rodgers just kept dropping, and like I think in the fifth round I finally just pulled the trigger. Let's talk about the running back situation in New England. Are you on the Mike Gillisley bandwagon, or is there another running back you kind of prefer?
I kind of am on the Mike Gillisley bandwagon. I know they have a lot of options there, but I feel like a lot of those options are more the third down kind of guys, the, you know, multi-dimensional players who are going to be more catching passes. I don't think they're going to be giving the ball to James White or Deion Lewis a lot on carries, so I think it's going to be Gillisley. I think we all know the Patriots do a good job of finding players from other teams that were undervalued or underutilized, and I think Gillisley is a guy that they really liked. He was really efficient carrying the ball. He doesn't really catch the ball whatsoever, but that's not what they want him to be doing. So I think Gillisley is going to, you know, do a little bit of what LeGarrette Blount did last year. He'd get a lot of work, get a lot of red zone opportunities, score a fair amount of touchdowns. So yeah, I think Gillisley's got a lot of upside, and I think people are being scared by all those options, and he's going way too late. I don't think they realize that he's going to do kind of what LeGarrette Blount did, and that had a lot of value last year.
I completely agree with you. I think he is this year's LeGarrette Blount, and it's an easy comparison to make because they both played for the Patriots. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, no, you've still got James White, you've got Deion Lewis. I don't get what's with all the Rex Burkhead love.
Oh, yeah, that's what bewilders me.
Like, do people not – like, Rex Burkhead has had one good game his entire career. Like, I don't understand people thinking that Rex Burkhead is now a thing. You know, I think Deion Lewis and James White will compete for those, those passing down plays. And they'll have series or maybe a game or two here and there where They're kind of big forces, but for me, Gillislee is the guy. He's going to get the first and second down work. He's going to get a lot of the goal line touches. I think that Gillislee is virtually the man, and I think he is going kind of underdrafted. Let me find his ADP in ESPN. Currently going off as the number 29th ranked running back behind Paul Perkins and LeGarrette Blount, which I think is a little
insane. That's just crazy.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, I understand people feeling a little bit like this is maybe a trap kind of scenario in the New England backfield, but to me, it's one of the more straightforward situations. You know, you've got one guy who's a workhorse, and then a bunch of guys who can kind of play the passing game. Give me the workhorse.
Yeah, I feel like Burke has simply insurance if Gillislee goes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, I think Burkhead's going to steal anything.
I think there's a
real
chance Burkhead does not even make the roster.
Yeah, potentially. I feel like he probably will, but I just think he's simply insurance for Gillislee and that White and Lewis split the third down stuff.
All right. We are in agreement. Let's move on to the wide receivers. They make a trade for Brandon Cooks. You and I talked about that in the kind of first episode of the season where we talked about guys in new places. What are your thoughts on Cooks and the rest of the wide receiver core?
I really like this receiver core, which is part of the reason why I still love Tom Brady despite how old he is. He's just got a lot of weapons. Cooks, you know, goes from a great situation to another great situation. They're going to utilize him really well. He's going to get a lot of deep balls. I have him as a truly elite wide receiver too. I mean, if you stuck with him as your wide receiver one, you could probably make do with that. But yeah, I'd love to have him as my wide receiver two. I feel like if I got him at wide receiver two, I'd have the best receiving core in the whole league.
I feel like Brandon Cooks is one of the most polarizing guys within the industry, at least what I read on Twitter and things like that. Some people really loving Brandon Cooks, some people really hating Brandon Cooks. Us as a website all love Brandon Cooks. We all have him as like a high-end wide receiver two, and a number of us have us as a low-end wide receiver one. I think this, I don't know how you can make a better fit for Brandon Cooks than putting him with Tom Brady and this receiver core, because you know he's going to get a ton of the deep work. They've been looking for a wide receiver like this. They've been trying to draft a wide receiver like this for a while and just haven't landed on anybody in particular. I think it destroys Malcolm Mitchell's potential. I think it really hurts Danny Amendola. And I think the top three wide receivers are going to get plenty of work in Cooks, Edelman, and whoever else is third. And I'm going to guess that's Chris Hogan.
Yeah, I love Cooks. I mean, back-to-back 1,100-yard years. He's got 17 touchdowns in the last 2 years. He's still only 23. Like, this guy is not done developing and getting better. And Tom Brady, he's going to learn a lot from Tom Brady and from this offense. Yeah, I think he's going to have a pretty special year.
What about Julian Edelman?
Oh, yeah, I love him, too. Obviously, a PPR stud, but 98 catches last year. He is a little unlucky with only 3 touchdowns, so I think he'll probably get more, maybe less catches and more touchdowns, but still, you know, still a good amount of yards. He's another guy that goes too late. People seem to give no respect to those kind of slot receivers who catch a lot of balls, like Landry. Like, I know they're not like home run hitters, and that's not sexy, but give me the guy who consistently catch a lot of balls, and if they don't get in the end zone, fine, because I know I'm going to get a good amount of catches and a fair amount of yards, and they will never hurt me week to week. So, yeah, I love Edelman. I always have.
I'm right there with you. Okay, would you rather have Chris Hogan or Malcolm Mitchell?
Chris Hogan. I'm such a Hogan fan. He's so dynamic. 18 yards a catch last year. I just feel like he came on as the season got on and got acclimated to the system. I know, obviously, Edelman and Cooks are going to get more looks, but Hogan's going to find some open space on that team. I think he's going to be the third receiver. Mitchell will sneak in there from time to time, but I think Hogan's going to use Hogan as a home run hitter, and he'll have some monster weeks from you here and there. I view him as a, you know, if there's a bye week, I'd like to put him in there. Maybe you
hope
get
for
a
home run.
Yeah, I mean, because there will be home runs with this guy. He's really fast. I like watching him play. So I think there's a chance for him to win you a week here or there, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect usage for Chris Hogan. He's not a guy you necessarily want in your lineup week to week, but he is like a he's a bye week Hail Mary, and he's one of those guys that, you know, if you've got on your bench, you're filling in for an injury, you're filling in for a bye week, he can really make the difference if he goes off. He's just not going to go off every week. I really like Malcolm Mitchell, and I like Malcolm Mitchell's talent, and I like it more than Chris Hogan. But the rapport that Hogan has shown with Brady, I think that elbow injury really set Mitchell back, and I think he's the fourth guy in this receiving corps. So if somebody goes down, Edelman goes down, Hogan goes down, I think Mitchell kind of naturally goes in and fills in that role, and I think he could be something really special. So in deeper formats and keeper and dynasty leagues, I'm still on Mitchell, but for this year in redraft in your 12 and 10 team formats, waiver wire fodder until someone gets hurt.
I completely agree with that. If anyone goes down whatsoever, I'm jumping on Malcolm Mitchell. He's got a lot of talent. He showed some major flashes down the stretch. You know what's crazy? Brandon Cooks is 2 years younger than Malcolm Mitchell. How is that possible?
Well, no, he's not 2 years younger.
Yeah, he is 25 and 23. I don't know the exact, the birthday. So maybe it's closer to one than the two, but, 100% Brandon Cooks right now is 23 and Malcolm Mitchell's 25.
Oh, okay. Cause I've got Malcolm Mitchell at 24 on the sheet I'm looking at.
No, he must have recently turned 25 cause I just clicked on his player page. He's 25.
Interesting. I'm double checking this.
In July, he turned 25, late July.
Oh, he turned 24 in late July. So whatever.
Incorrect.
According to his Wikipedia page, he was born on July 20th, 1993.
Well, that's on ESPN. This is 1992. So I'm about to tell you.
So, and according to Roster Resource, where I'm looking at the depth charts, he was. He's 24, so I think ESPN's a little drunk.
This is interesting. Maybe so. I mean, it would make more sense. Like, he just came into the league recently. How could he be 25 already? But who knows?
No. He's a few months older than Brandon Cooks. He's not a full year, even a full year older than him. But let's move on and talk about Rob Gronkowski. This is if you are a Rob Gronkowski guy, this is the year you get a discount. Will you be taking him?
I don't think I've ever owned Rob Gronkowski, and he's by far the most dynamic tight end ever. I get it, and I love him, and he can single-handedly win you weeks, but he's just too injury-prone, too risky, and there are like four other tight ends that are pretty incredible themselves, and they just go so much later. Olsen, Kelsey, Reed, Walker. I love all four of those guys. I know they're not Gronkowski, but they're not really all that far off, and they don't have as many question marks with injuries as he does, and like I said, you can get them like a million rounds later, so I just can't do it.
Yeah, I can't pull the trigger either. I mean, and there's going to be someone in your league that's in the second round goes, oh, look, Rob Gronkowski's still on the board. I'm going to take him. And I can't pull the trigger on a guy that I could be afraid might miss half a season with his injury history. He's one of those guys that, you know, if he plays 16 games, can help you win your league, especially if you're getting him in the second or third round. But he's just I just can't pull the trigger. And, I mean, unless I'm getting a really, really nice value. If I'm getting him, like, if I'm in a, let's say I'm in a 12-team league and I had the first overall pick and he gets back to me in the second, third round, I'm going to have a hard time passing him up. But at that point, I'm probably feeling like I don't even know if I can make pull the trigger right there. I think that's a really, really difficult proposition.
Yep.
Any interest in Dwayne Allen?
Yeah, I mean, I do have some interest. I've always liked him as a player. I've always thought he was really unreliable, underrated, pretty reliable, pretty consistent. Obviously, if Gronk does go down, we're talking about a pretty talented guy in one of the best situations you could possibly be in. So, yeah, in a two tight end league, I'd put him on my roster. And in a one tight end league, if Gronk goes down, I'm doing everything I can to get Allen.
Yeah, I'm interested because it's depending on what platform you're playing, and this is something I'll be referencing quite a bit throughout draft season, is if you're playing on ESPN or you're playing on Yahoo, you're playing on CBS, or you're playing in the National Football Fantasy Football Championship, ADPs really matter for some of these guys. And, you know, Dwayne Allen's one of those guys that he's going off the board on ESPN 27th out of tight ends. And, you know, there's like, you know, in a deep format, he's worth the shot because the guys going behind him, you know, for the most part, aren't really that interesting, and there's no investment. I've seen other places him going off inside the top 20, and I think that, for me, is a little bit too much. But Dwayne Allen is definitely a talented talented tight end, and they have shown the desire to use two tight end sets a lot. They've, you know, obviously Gronk's injury history makes him gives him a better chance of being the number one tight end on that team, and we've seen what the number one tight end on that team can do. So I definitely have some interest in deeper formats, but in the shallower formats, I'm definitely, he's waiver wire fodder, and I'm just looking to jump on him the moment that Gronk gets hurt.
Yeah, if I have a tight end on a bye week and he's available, I'm taking Allen because he's just a guy that's a big target. He gets a lot of red zone looks. If Gronk were to miss 10 or more games, I feel I wouldn't be stunned if Allen found a way to get into the top 10 among tight ends this year.
Well, and I think tight end is a really interesting kind of group this year, because you've got five guys, maybe six or seven guys that are like in like the first and second tiers, and then it's kind of like everybody else. And so, I mean, like, is there a huge difference between Cameron Brate and Dwayne Allen? I don't really think there is.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, you know, Jason Witten or Zach Miller or Dwayne Allen. Like, if any of them finished higher than the other in the rankings at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep, agreed.
So, all right, let's move on to the fantasy powerhouse. And I'm glad we spent we've only spent a half hour on this podcast so far, so we can really dive deep into the plethora of options in the New York Jets. Eli, tell me who is the best quarterback on this team?
Yeah, I'm gonna need some more time to consider this. I think you just gotta roll with Hackenberg, right?
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, at least play someone with some potential who maybe you get lucky with. McCown's a solid backup quarterback, but like, just what are you doing?
I think they need to figure out between Bryce Petty and Hackenberg if they have anything. So the fact that McCown's even on this roster and right now slated to be the starter for week one is a little bit insane for me. Now, I mean, it's a really awful situation if you are Hackenberg or Bryce Petty, because there is no talent on this roster. I mean, we're talking about their number one wide receiver being an undrafted free agent last year. We're talking about Bilal Powell being the starting running back. We're talking about a guy who couldn't hack it on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at tight end as their number one tight end. I mean, this is a really, really ugly situation. I was joking around in our three sport draft chat about how bad the Bears are, and someone was like, and because I said like the Bears could really challenge for the number one overall pick. I think they're that bad. And one of your best friends is all, it's the Jets, and I don't think it's particularly close. And I was like, yeah, you're right. The Jets are by far the worst team in the NFL and for fantasy, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, sorry. It's a sad state of affairs.
Speaking of Bilal Powell, do you think he's got some sneaky value this year?
Yeah. He's pretty good. Doesn't have averaged 5.5 yards a carry last year. Caught 58 balls, which is really surprising. So he's, you know, pretty versatile. I'm sure they're gonna do, since they have a quarterback who isn't capable of throwing the ball, they're probably gonna dump the ball off to Powell, and he's probably gonna get another 60 catches this year. You know, someone's gotta get some work on this team. I know it's ugly, but there'll be some fantasy value on this team. It'll mostly be from Powell, but yeah, I'll take him. I got him ranked inside the top 20 among running backs.
Yeah, I can't remember where I have him ranked, but I've got him. Oh, wow, I'm really low on him. I've got him ranked 29th. In PPR, obviously, he takes a huge step forward and can be ranked quite a bit higher. And I actually probably should move him up just in my standard ranks, because 29 seems way too low. I think, especially with Forte already dealing with injuries so far in the preseason, I think Powell will probably further cement himself as kind of the lead dog there in New York. For me, it's going to be really hard to trust any sort of New York Jets player until proven otherwise. Let's do a would you rather real quick with Bilal Powell, who is currently going off as the number 22 running back on ESPN.com. Would you rather have Bilal Powell or your boyfriend, Mark Ingram?
No, definitely Mark Ingram. Way better offense. I know he's got some competition from Peterson and Kamara, but Ingram's really talented. I love Ingram.
Bilal Powell or Frank Gore?
I have them right next to each other. Give me Powell.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Gore. I just think there's some safety there. Eddie Lacy or Bilal Powell?
Eddie Lacy. I believe in Eddie Lacy.
I kind of do too. I took him in the barf draft, though. Part of it was value. There was just so much good value with where he went in the draft. LeGarrette Blount or Bilal Powell?
I gotta go with LeGarrette Blount. It's really close.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Blount as well. Gillisley or Powell?
Gillisley.
Yeah, Gillisley. Theo Riddick or Powell?
I'm going to go Powell.
I'm going to go Powell as well. Last one, Amir Abdullah or Powell?
Powell.
Oh, that one's hard for me. I'm going to go Abdullah, just because I think there's a better chance of him being on a team that actually gives him a full workload. I mean,
there's some breakout potential with Abdullah, yeah, too. More upside.
All right, moving into the wide receiver core. Quincy Enunwa was a really, really popular kind of sleeper pick, along with Lucky Whitehead, and now they're both probably out for the season. So you have a wide receiver core of Robbie Anderson, who, like I mentioned, was an undrafted free agent in 2016, Marquise Wilson, who was signed this summer, and Ardarius Stewart, who was drafted this year. Any of them interest you?
Yeah, I mean, they do interest me. I know they're not big names, and they haven't really done anything, and they have no quarterback to throw them to. I get all that. But this is a team that's going to be down a lot every goddamn week. So they're going to have to throw, and someone's going to have to catch some balls eventually. So Robbie Anderson is a guy that does interest me. He knows the system. He's been there. He was there last year. He was got 78 targets. He was fairly productive, had 600 yards. Yeah, I mean, sadly, he's probably going to have a good year.
Yeah, I've taken Robbie Anderson somewhere. It might be in the three sport league, actually.
Yeah, I think it was.
Just as a flyer. Not that I necessarily even have like a ton of faith in the guy, but I mean, they've got to throw to someone. I think it's really for me between Stewart and Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson seems to, because he's got the experience on the team. I mean, he's literally of their top five projected wide receivers, of the top five projected wide receivers, he was the only one on the team last year. So he already knows the system. I think that gives him a little bit of a leg up. I think Stewart is an interesting guy, and in deeper and dynasty formats, I would be maybe taking a shot on him a little bit more often. But he reminds me a little bit of Hines Ward, and I think that could have some sneaky good value. But I never trust wide receivers, and when you're throwing out either McCown or Hackenberg or Bryce Petty, I really don't trust rookie wide receivers. So Robbie Anderson's the guy, but I can totally understand the majority of people not wanting to have anything to do with this team, much less this wide receiver core.
Yeah, that's fair.
Any interest in Austin Seferian-Jenkins?
I think he's just one of those guys that you got to keep your eye on, because he clearly did have potential. And it seemed like all the off-field stuff really messed up his career. But the talent is there. The opportunity is there. They got no one else for the most part. And like I said before, they're going to have to throw the ball all the time. So keep your eye on him, because this could be a story throughout the season. He really could develop into someone who's fantasy viable.
Yeah, I mean, you could do worse, but I think he goes into that like that fourth or fifth tier of tight ends that are just like, meh, who cares? You know, he's facing a two-game suspension, so you know you're only going to get max 14 games out of him, 13 if you don't play in week 17, which you shouldn't. I mean, I think there is a very, very low floor, but you don't have to pay anything for him. And I think there is something of an interesting ceiling for a guy like Austin Seferian-Jenkins, who by all accounts has all the physical tools, but just not been able to put it together on the field. And maybe he can do that in a new location.
Yeah, I mean, he's still only 24, and he seems to be in way better shape after quitting drinking and all that crap. So it looks like he's actually focused on football for once here, and this could get interesting.
Yeah, I can attest from a personal standpoint, when I quit drinking, I lost about 30 pounds in about 60 days.
Wow.
I have since put it on back on with a lot more. That is going to wrap us up for this podcast. Eli, what are you working on? Where can people reach you at?
I thought I yelled at you last time for not mentioning what I'm working on, because it's never anything. My answer won't change.
Maybe this is some passive aggressiveness.
Fair enough.
Trying to get you to work on something.
All right, I get it. You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB. And as soon as we hang up this call, I'm going to work on something. I don't know what it is.
I'd appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Let's see. You can read my baseball stuff over on Fangraphs, my football stuff over on Friends Fantasy Benefits. You can also hear me on the radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific, every Thursday on the Tout Wars Hour with Lauren Michaels. And yeah, that is going to do it. For Eli and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.
Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep all night with the phone off the hook. Fire.